Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host Tim
and Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome to Right Spokane Perspective on this Freedom Friday episode. We're talking about freedom, not free dumb, because real freedom comes with responsibility, not government subsidy. And we need to affirm liberty. That liberty comes with responsibility as well. We are going to be visited today by Chris Gaines. He has a website up. It's patriotgaines.com. That's patriotgaines, G-A-I-N-E-S.com. We're going to jump into a conversation with him and the stuff he's got going on, a new podcast he's going to be producing after Inspiration.
Our inspiration today is Waters of Encouragement. I call it the Lean to Green Miracle. It's happened every spring for more than 15 years. Coming out of the winter months, the grass in our yard is dusty and brown, so much so, a casual passerby might believe it's dead. Colorado has snow in the mountains, but the climate on the plains, the Front Range, is dry, with most warmer months full of drought warnings. But every year around the end of May, I turn on the sprinklers. Not huge amounts of water, but simply small, consistent waterings. And in about a week or two, what was dry and brown builds up into something lush and green. That green grass reminds me how vital encouragement is. Without it, our lives and our faith can resemble something almost lifeless. But it's amazing what consistent encouragement can do to our hearts, minds, and souls. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians emphasized this truth. The people were struggling with anxiety and fear. Paul saw he needed to bolster their faith. He urged them to keep up the good work of encouraging one another and building each other up. He knew that without such refreshment, their faith could wither. Paul experienced this firsthand, for those very same Thessalonian believers had been an encouragement to him, building him up. You and I have the same opportunity to encourage, to help one another bloom and grow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that we've received. Help us to encourage others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, encouragement is important, like that dead yard that just needs a little bit of water sprinkled on it now and again to be that encouragement to grow. We want to do that same thing with our neighbors, our friends, and our listeners so that they're not just getting the sprinkling of encouragement, but also armed with information so that they can encourage others that not all hope is lost. There is remnants of freedom and liberty in this country and good American values that still are the foundations that we can go back to once our culture has collapsed. But we're going to be talking about freedom and affirming liberty today with Chris Gaines, and he has got patriotgaines.com is his website. I want to welcome him to the show. How are you doing today, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for your time today. So you've got a podcast that you're going to be doing here. By the time this show airs, you've probably already got your first podcast out there. You've been working with folks at patriotgaines.com, getting information out there to the people that visit your website. Just tell us, the listeners, you know, who is Chris Gaines? Kind of what have you done with your life and what led you to this mission of affirming liberty?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So, you know, I was a restaurateur for years. That was really my first career, I guess you'd say. Spent 35 years in it, and I developed some health issues, and it turned out I had a rare form of a muscle, genetic muscle disorder that drove me out of the business. And, you know, I listened to your inspiration, and it makes me think about that, because I often told them that I inspire people with what I do. And so I needed a purpose to go on. And I've always wanted to write. I've always been inspired by people like Thomas Sowell. I've wanted to be on the radio, as is inspired by a lot of people on the radio. Not going to mention names because a lot of it gets polarized. But I love those form of communications. And so I always wanted to do something with that. So when I sort of hit rock bottom at once I realized that my career was over, I had to reinvent myself, and that's kind of where the inspiration for Patriot Gaines came from.
So in reinventing yourself, you're looking at moving out of the restaurateur is kind of what you did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So rating restaurants and so that people could know when they're traveling what restaurants are good to stop buy and what?
No, restaurateur is I've done pretty much all of it. I've been an owner, operator, manager, head dishwasher. I mean, you name it. You know, I've been in business for myself, but mostly for others. And it was my life. I mean, you know, my wife is a stay-at-home mom, and we have two grown children now. And I dedicated a lot of my energy and time to it, and I loved it. I love providing great experiences and great food. And that part I missed. And so for me, I went from that to having literally, you know, no pun intended, radio silence in my life. And, you know, I discovered that, you know, that when that was over, you know, it went from me communicating and interacting with maybe up to 1,000 people a day to nothing. And it was very challenging. But our Lord, you know, used that time to get my attention and say, you know, what should I be doing with it? And the greatest thing about it is a lot of friends came to my side and said, you know what, there's going to be something better for you. And I'm really sorry. And the thing is, at first I did feel bad about it, but then I realized the way God works is that sometimes he has to stop you in your tracks to make you realize that there's something else he has you doing. And this is what it is. And it is, I consider Patriot Gains and everything under that umbrella that I'm trying to grow as not just something that I enjoy doing as a hobbyist, I guess you could say, because I don't make money off of it. I believe that journalism, I call myself a citizen journalist, and I don't believe that journalism is something that I want to profit on. I've looked at doing, you know, not for profit and other things like that. But the point being is that Patriot Gains is meant to be something that is more than a hobby to me. It's a passion that is driven by things in my heart and the experiences in my life, kind of a combination of both. And, you know, the Spirit just coming out of me and saying, hey, this is what I need to communicate. And that's actually how I go about writing, really.
So you went from providing food for nourishment and enjoyment to providing food for thought so that people can look at today's world and the things that are going on in our world, how it affects us, and how much of it really is, you know, good, upright, constitutional. And I see a government and, you know, whether it's just our budgets, where we spend our money. I know that the federal government just a week or two ago decided to avoid a government shutdown, which is really ridiculous to me, the way we do government shutdowns, because it's like 17% of the government shuts down. It's all non-essentials, where our government basically is on autopilot and our legislative branch just, you know, funds new personal priorities. And, you know, the pork barrel spending is kind of the budget arguments that happen. Because our government really is not being overseen by our elected officials like it's supposed to. And they're printing, I hear, like every 100 days, we're printing and spending another $1 trillion every 100 days. We're bankrupting our country for the next generation. And it's really a violation of every elected officials from the local level all the way up, their fiduciary duty and, you know, violating their oath of office. Because there's no way that we can spend that way.
Absolutely. And there's not only that, as you know, there's nothing backing that money up. One thing I learned in the business world is that productivity is all about, you have to have money behind it to generate money. In other words, you can't just produce money out of thin air. It's production. It's really economics 101. You have to have production to produce something and to produce that dollar and to keep that dollar working. That's why, you know, for years, you know, the great leaders we've had in the past have generated a strong income by having a lower Fed rate and, you know, encouraging us about job creation, things like that, and how they're handling the budget matters. And the thing is, we would go out and we would spend our money, and that would generate a good economy for us. Now with the fear, you know, you mentioned, I know that Shannon mentioned this in her inspiration. You know, it's something I actually wrote about is last year, is how fear is such a factor anymore, that fear causes people to pause in everything that they do. And it causes them to hesitate and not spend money, not do the things that they really ought to be doing.
And, well, and fear,
so
is,
we need to eliminate that fear.
Fear is something, you know, obviously 365 times in the Bible, it says do not fear. So that's enough for once each day.
Correct.
I think we have to have concerns and we have to use wisdom. And the kind of the root cause of fear is often, it's not actually, it's not like a dog attacking you in the moment. It's the unsurety of things. You're unsure, you don't know, you don't have the information, you don't have the wisdom. And I think that, I mean, that's one of the things that we can do with information is help people not be fearful by just having the knowledge. Well, am I afraid that the American dollar is going to collapse? Well, it's out of my control. It's not something I have to fear. But I do understand that, you know, we're having a consumer-based economy, printing money, having, you know, more corporations that are in the stock market that don't actually have tangible assets other than ones and zeros. It is an issue. It's a problem, and we have to recognize that. And it's really bizarre to me that in such a short time period, we went from a country that produced wealth because we manufactured things. We took raw materials and created something. That's how you really create wealth. It's not just by printing money. In a consumer-based economy, if all of our money is going to China or, you know, on the underbelly, the drug cartels are getting a lot of our money because of the fentanyl crisis, that's not going to be good for our economy. We got to manufacture things. We know this from the Industrial Revolution when America really came to the pinnacle of its greatness because of how much wealth we created that the world saw value in because of the things we manufactured, the ingenuity and the freedom that Americans had to create.
Yeah. You said a mouthful there. I mean, there's so many things I can unpack with that. You know, the first thing I would say about that is, you know, you talk about information. I consider myself part of a movement of independent news outlets, albeit a small one. You know, you have to start somewhere. But we've seen how what I call, and many of us like us called, the enemy of the state is corporate or legacy media because we aren't getting the truth. And that generates that fear, you know. And so with the surge of independent news outlets, and if really I think that surge became the pendulum swung in our favor when Tucker Carlson was fired, that all of a sudden, you know, independent news was taking over. And I think that's a more reliable source of truth. And at least a balance where people can look at both sides of it and say, hey, you know, maybe I don't agree with what Chris says on every respect, but he's got some good points there. And that's what I try to generate when I say I do news commentary. And a lot of the things that you talked about are in what I do on Patriot Gains and will be doing on Affirming Liberty is that I separate the two. I call it delineation and that unlike the news you see on corporate media today, I take my job seriously. I say one part of it is news and another part is commentary, and I delineate those two things.
Well, and I think
and so
we
I
have
do provide
to,
both.
We have to read between the lines, and I think some of us commentators that when we talk about our opinions, when we talk about information and we, you know, dissect that information, kind of reading between the lines, looking at things beyond just one article or one tidbit of information that the mainstream media provides us, is that there is this desire corporately to have more and more monopolistic type sources, not just for information, but for, you know, meat, for our food products, for our clothing, for, you know, there seems to be this growth in the corporate world where there isn't competition. But in the landscape of news and information, because of the internet, because of everybody having a cellular device and able to gather and grab information from a multitude of sources, the public can be more informed. We don't have to trust that, you know, corporate government connected, you know, three or four media corporations that regurgitate the same information, regardless which channel you go to. We
can
start
looking. That's really what it is. Yeah.
It's
government connected for sure.
Yeah, we can look at independent sources that are not controlled by foreign adversaries even, or our own government that wants to create narratives. So we are here with Chris Gaines. Affirming Liberty is the podcast, and patriotgaines.com. These are going to be complimentary items that you can look for, you know, information out there that is not in the mainstream media cycle. You know, we're talking about kind of the corporatocracy or the, you know, corporatism that we have in our country, not just in media, but in other places where there's these conglomerated corporations that want to control the narratives, control the information we have. But we have that actually, I'm going to kind of dig into Chris Gaines' past a little bit here. We have that in food production. We're talking about the Industrial Revolution. We're talking about creating wealth. One of the ways that we did that wasn't just creating cars and clothes and things like that, which now, of course, 90% of our clothing is made overseas when it used to be most of it was made here. We've taken away that private sector business type entities away from our country, and we've got more government involved. And, you know, Christopher Gaines was involved with producing food as in a restaurant. So the food gets produced. That's a product that is created, that's manufactured, the food. Then when it's prepared into, you know, wonderful recipes and is provided to the end consumer, that creates wealth because there's a product that's created. But now government is involved in so many places in subsidizing pieces of it. It's not really free market anymore. So let's talk about the destruction of those free market principles for just a minute, Chris.
You know, because the restaurant business, anybody who knows about it, and I know there's many of your listeners have been in it, there's a lot more easy ways to make money than the restaurant business, for one thing.
Restaurant business, really, in Washington State, it's the number one new startup business in Washington State, but it's also the number one failing business because it's a tough business.
It is a very tough business, and it teaches you a lot of things, but what you said was so true. And the thing is, we've moved from a mindset of like capitalism can create, you know, not only opportunity for the individual, but you go back in our history and capitalism was the difference between, that is the middle class. I mean, that's where you can take and become the person that you want to be, create the wealth you want, create a pathway for your family, create a legacy. Now we have seen a slow onset and recently a really quick onset of Marxism. And Marxism really is the destroyer of capitalism. And Marxism,
well, because Marxism, to me, I see so many things where it's like fascism being used to lead us towards Marxism because it's not control completely of the means of production where government owns everything. It's partnering with certain corporations, doing carve outs for certain corporations so that they can squeeze out competition. And so then the government's working hand in hand with corporations, which I view more as fascism, but they're going in that direction to have more of a Marxist control structure.
Yeah, I think we're looking at the same paradigm with this, Tim, but I gotta refer to the WEF on this. I mean, everybody knows by now the WEF and their plans. And what you described is their term called ESG, which is environmental, societal, and governance investing. They look at governance a certain way, but the governance they're looking at is a Marxist sort of governance. So in that respect, they are, you know, you got BlackRock at the top, you got South Street, you've got Vanguard. Those are the three that really control a lot of what you were talking about. They control, in fact, one of them controlled the last company I was with, which I will not mention their name. And it really made it more difficult for us to operate and make that capital because we have to fall under those rules. So I think that structure is part of what's gradually eroding capitalism and making it harder for those who want to build wealth and build wealth. So.
Yeah. Well, in capitalism, it's my understanding there was actually, capitalism was kind of a term that was created actually out of, you know, communist activists because it was really the free market system. It was freedom to create, freedom to produce, and capitalism kind of became the permission from the government to have a corporation. And it was kind of the beginning of it where now we've got all this regulation and government basically picking winners and losers in the marketplace, depending on, you know, the carve outs in the law, the tax code, and, you know, the interference of trade amongst consumers and private business to pick who gets to be in those industries. I was, you know, like you said, WEF, you'll own nothing and be happy. And we see this with every time a politician says affordable housing, that just means they're going to use more government incentives for certain developers to build housing. And most of the time, it's not actually housing, it's apartment living.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's an example of how they're not into wealth building, and it's about building a societal structure that works for them. And it's what I refer to as world government, but just simply because if you don't follow along with that plan, you're going to be punished accordingly, whether it's monetarily or whatnot. And if you do follow the plan, you're going to be rewarded. And that's really how society has built anything, as you probably know, and whether it's through government or anything, you have a system. It used to be that the family was rewarded, you know, traditional family was rewarded in lots of ways through tech, you know, less taxes and things like that, more incentives to have a bigger family. And now it's just quite the opposite, you know, and those sort of things are controlled by government. Well, now we have a government alignment with the Agenda 2030, which stems from the Sustainable Development Goals, which are determining those outcomes that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's really government using different levers of power that in a lot of cases I don't believe are constitutional in their structure. The levers of power to control individual marketplaces the way that has been done, I think, over a long period of time. We see so many subsidies and tax breaks, and I actually have a person that I'm never going to forget this term. I got to make sure I say it every now and again, because I always, you know, with the stack 'em and pack 'em, you know, shove everybody into apartments, then you don't have ownership like you do in what used to be the way that a lot of families created generational wealth, was owning property, owning a house, owning, you know, the empty lot next to the house where they could build another house. Things like that were ownership and how families, you know, built wealth over time. And you had, you know, multi-generational housing. It wasn't multi-family housing like they're trying to build now. And he says, you know what, those are just human filing cabinets. I don't want to live in one of those. And that's kind of where we are in the development world, is there's more and more stack and pack them human filing cabinets and less ownership. And that's kind of part of the design in an economy where they want to go away from individual ownership.
Well, yeah, and that's just, as far as what you mentioned, I just think that's the tip of the iceberg. I think there are many layers to this. Boy, we could do a show on that all day long and probably make five shows out of it, what's their plan is. And I just say to citizens, you know, this kind of dovetails into the purpose of Patriot Gains, is that there's lots of independent journalists out there, and they all have a different audience. They all have a slightly different, you know, worldview, and mine does too. I like to think that I'm communicating those things to the hardworking people who are trying to build wealth, who are trying to take care of their families, and really don't have the time to do the research about what's happening in the world, what's coming. They hear little bits and pieces of it, but obviously the news cycle keeps us so busy anymore. And what I'd like to see for our country, and I write about stuff like this too. I write things that are very investigative. Right now I'm in the middle of a four-part piece that is kind of drawn me in because it's out of necessity about the border and about where mass migration is coming from. But I also write about non-governmental things that are benevolent for us.
Going back to the WEF and the sustainable development and all that, we're supposed to, you know, we're going to get our proteins from, you know, digging in the ground, eating worms and bugs before long. And that's their goal.
That is one of their goals. And people think that a lot of this stuff is like, well, that's just conspiracy theory, Chris, that's out there. And, you know, there's always different things happening. You know, it's globalism. That's fine. And there's nothing wrong with it. And I say, you know, the information is right in front of you if you look at it. And that's why I realize that maybe people aren't looking at it. And I'm trying to be that, as I call, clarion call for them, Paul Revere, if you would, and say, no, it's much more than that. And there's a piece I did back in 2020 that focused on Aldous Huxley's words. And he had a conversation with Mike Wallace, and this is way back in the 50s, and I love to find these pieces because they're great. And what he talked about is that the future with technology, he was actually a visionary with this. He said back then they were 12 years removed from getting Hitler out of Germany, right? And, you know, the whole idea of the United Nations was to prevent wars, and that was what the Atlantic Charter was about. And so now what he was saying was that Now we have to look at the advancements in technology, and this is way before the stuff we have now, of course. He says we have to look at it as like there's not going to be necessarily one dictator that controls it, but many smaller ones. And I think he nailed it as far as what we're seeing now. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goals have 17 initiatives that must be met by 2030. That's why they call it 2030 Agenda. The point is that they're trying to align the Western world with all of those goals so that you have a lot of little Hitlers instead of one big one.
Well, it's oligarchs.
And they're controlling that.
And it's very simple. This is why we can say to the people that listen to our shows, this isn't conspiracy theory. It's if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. Look at what the Roman Empire did and how Absolutely. They ruled different regions. The Roman Empire was really one of the first global dictators, really, that just took over most civilization across a large swath of the earth. And they just put people in charge. They weren't elected officials. They were just acting dictators in a region. They got, you know, freedom to make certain controls about who gets to grow the food, who gets to own and use property. And that's the kind of controls that they're trying to put forward, just in a much more complex fashion. And when we talk about globalism and, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Well, it's not a conspiracy if you talk to students that have been in the education system for the past 10 years, because what have they been doing? Have they been creating American citizens looking to spread freedom across not just our country, but across the globe, looking out for the rights of citizenry everywhere? No, what they call themselves is global citizens. So I think that some of these basic things are all the way down into our elementary classrooms. It is elementary, not conspiracy.
If I may quickly address the conspiracy theory thing, because I deal with it a lot, of course, and I do, and I don't mind it at all. I wanted to point out a gentleman that I've run into recently, I think is really on the front lines of learning about things going on in the world. His name's Michael Yon, spelled Y-O-N. And he is down in the Darien Gap, something I'm writing about now, where there's mass migration going on. Really, what Fodders is called, the toughest jungle to migrate through, you know, Fodders as if they, you know, there's great accommodations there, you know, Fodders just talks about, you know, spas and things like that. But the point is that Michael Yon was a Green Beret at the age of 19. He studied to be a physicist and ran into this world of like, wow, you know what, there's stuff going on in the world. I'm going to travel the world and find out. And he's fearless. And what I discovered from him in regards to this conspiracy theory thing, because he gets it all the time too, is that as a scientist, the way you look at it is you have a paradigm you start with. Even some of our greatest minds like Einstein would do this. They would take a paradigm and they would start with it and they'd say, look, you know, I'm not satisfied with that theory. And they would keep testing it and they keep testing it. That's real science. And the thing is, if you keep testing and it still stands, then it's more than a postulate. It's a law to you. Yeah. And actually Einstein did that and it doesn't get talked about enough. They just, you know, people just associate Einstein with being a genius. No, I mean, that's what a scientist does.
Well, the thing about
scientist continues to question what he
always
theories are until they're right.
Always test your theories. You know, you come up with that idea. You got to test that theory. We're out of time for today's show, but folks, again, go to patriotgains.com. He's doing a series right now. He's got a lot of information there. You know, when we talk about science, there's ways to test things, and we're testing a lot of them right now, looking at the migration issue. When we want to talk about people moving, not just into our country, but around our country, we're looking at the largest human migration in the past several years, and looking forward to another couple of years of the largest migration of the human population on the planet in world history. Those kinds of things have outcomes. Some of the times it's good, sometimes it's bad, and we're going to find out what that outcome is. And again, Chris Gaines, Affirming Liberty, PatriotGaines.com. We're going to be with you folks again on Monday. Thanks, bye-bye. Chris.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Right Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Right Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.